When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, next on the Teen Nation, welcome into part two of this week's show featuring my conversations with Randy Pice, the Chief Merchandising Officer for the PGA Tour Superstore, and Golf Magazine Top 100 instructor Jeff Smith. Randy does an outstanding job of telling us about the importance of the game of golf and really how heightened that has become since the pandemic. We also talk about memories that you make with family and friends and how very special those things are, and they'll have a lasting piece of our lives as we look back on them over the years. Great stories there. Plus, some hot gift ideas for dad this Father's Day as we look ahead. It's not that far off. So Randy has some great tips for us there as well. And then I'll round out the show with Jeff Smith, again, a Golf Magazine Top 100 instructor, each of the last 4 years, a 2018 Indiana PGA Player Development Award winner, and the 2020 Indiana PGA Teacher of the Year. He's now out in Arizona. You'll hear all about those things and some really fantastic stories that he has had over the course of his career. We'll talk about his new place out in Arizona and some of those stories, plus a tip or two, one that I've already implemented in my game, which I should have done a long time ago. So Jeff will join me about a half an hour from now. So sit back, relax, let us take your mind off everything else going on in your life for the next hour or so. Before we get started, I want to remind you about our friends over at 2Under. 2Under men's performance briefs are the unofficial underwear of the PGA, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup teams, and are sold in over 3,000 golf pro shops and golf specialty retailers nationwide. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, they are David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Go to 2under.com to check out the bundle specials that offer substantial discounts for being a Next on the Tee listener. That's the number 2under.com. 2Under, performance in your pants.
Every January, PGA Tour Superstore pros meet every manufacturer, learn about the latest equipment, log thousands of hours of training, and together hit over 100,000 balls, all so they can get you the perfect fit.
All right, now back and next on the tee with me is the Chief Merchandising Officer for the PGA Tour Superstore, Randy Pice. Randy has been a wonderful friend of the show over the years. Going back into his career, he earned his MBA in public relations and communications at Auburn, which I know we're going to be talking Auburn golf here in just a moment. Over the course of his career, he has spent time as the senior merchant for Golfsmith and a vice president for Sports Authority. Prior to his current role, he was the senior VP of operations and the chief operating officer there at the PGA Tour Superstore. And I couldn't be more honored. I get to have him back with me again this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Randy, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Chris, it's great to talk to you again. I've been looking forward to speaking with you for quite a while.
I appreciate that very much. Same here.
I thought you were going to lead with Auburn with me. I didn't know Dr. Bob was going to get to talk about the national champion Auburn Tigers.
Well, I am going to lead with it with you because as an Auburn alumni, I'm sure you're pretty stoked that your Tigers winning the national championship.
Well, I got to tell you, it was wonderful. I happened to be just coincidentally out at La Costa last week before they teed off. We were out there for a meeting with some of our vendor partners, the TaylorMade guys, and got to talk to Coach Nick just before they teed off. And what a great coach he is. What a great job he's done with that program there. And I have to tell you, I know Dr. Bob talked about Brendan Valdez, but that whole team is just so humble. Got to meet that team. Actually, another coincidence, just in the airport in Atlanta. Shook hands with the whole team, and I gave them a small gift card to our store, like nothing big at all. Every one of those kids, handwritten note thanking me for giving them a gift card to the store and how much they love our store. Like, they didn't have to do any of that. And just a quality group of guys. Also spectacular golfers, as we all saw, but really happy to see Coach Nick and the whole team break through and win Auburn's first national championship in golf.
So I got to ask you, how much national championship gear are we going to find now available at the PGA Tour Superstore?
Well, you know, I don't know how much demand there is going to be for us, but we definitely like to piggyback on certain events, and we love being able to have that, have the merchandise in when teams win. And it's just so much fun to watch how excited these kids get, just truly playing for each other in a team environment like that. It's, you know, there's almost nothing else like it short of President's Cups and Ryder Cups.
Well, I'm headed up to Macklemore this coming weekend, and going to get to spend some time with Bill Bergen, checking out the new golf course that they're going to get ready to open up later on this fall, called The Keep up there. But as you know, Bill is an Auburn alumni as well, so I'm expecting him to be all decked out in Auburn national championship gear.
I'm sure he will. And what a great place that is as well. They've really built something special up there at Macklemore.
Yes, they have.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, last time we talked, it was back in December. Catch us up on the great things that have been going on at the PGA Tour Superstore so far this year.
Yeah, so we're very excited to be continuing to open up stores. We currently have 68 stores in 25 states, which has been awesome. We opened two more earlier this year, and we have six slated for the back half of the year, and we're going to get to a couple of new states in Michigan and in Kansas. So we're really excited to be going to some new markets that we haven't been in before, like Detroit and Kansas City and Nashville, Tennessee, and Greenville, South Carolina, but also backfilling some stores that where customers have voted yes to us in markets like Houston. We're going to be opening our fourth store in Houston a little bit later on this year. So we're really excited about the path we're going on and continuing to gain some momentum here in the golf industry. And that's what's fun about it. And, you know, I get calls from customers and emails, and it's just always fun to read, when are you going to come to our market, and or thank you for coming to our market. So love going to the grand openings. I was at our first two grand openings this year, and it's really exciting to see people, 300 people or so, waiting in line when we open the doors, and they just can't wait to get in. And when the doors open, they say things like, wow, and I can't believe how amazing this is. And then hopefully our associates show them the great experience that we've become known for. So that's really what's fun for me, and still super passionate about bringing our store to different markets and different customers.
Yeah, Randy, I think to take that a step further, I think that's what is very unique about what you guys bring to every city that you go into. And even if it's just expanding to another store in a different area of that city, like you mentioned about Houston, is at a time when retailers are closing brick and mortar stores, you have people and cities begging you guys to come there because of how great the PGA Superstore is. And as you mentioned, as soon as those doors open, for those of us that just love this game, it is a wow moment to see all the great stuff inside. I think that is something that truly sets you guys apart.
Well, it's one of those things, Chris, that we our online business has grown as well as most other online businesses have grown since 2020. And we actually just launched a new website earlier this year. So if you haven't been on in a little bit, It's really cool to refresh and see some of the amazing work that the team did in our e-commerce site. But one of the best things about it is that we not only are able to grow that, but we're able to give customers an experience that's hands-on, and that's long what our company has been known for. And it's why these people camp out overnight to go to new stores, is so that they can go in and not just touch and feel new products and swing them, but actually be told what different shafts can do and what different models can do for their game. And that's what's really fun, is getting them in and then seeing, okay, you know what? I can actually hit 6, 7, 8 yards further and pick up 10 miles an hour of ball speed and not hit my irons to the right like they used to, because I have the right set of irons for me. And all those experiences are amazing when they come into our store and see, wow, this game is really difficult, but it can be a little bit easier with just the right amount of tweaking. And whether that's new equipment or a lesson or just a swing tip, it's fun to help people along their journey to better golf.
Randy, as you talk about the fun of it and the fun of coming into the stores and the fun of playing the game, one of the barriers over the years to getting out more and playing more golf was the time it took away from our families. I think what the pandemic showed us is that the game can be one that we can do together as a family. Talk about the game of golf becoming a family hobby.
Well, I'm so glad you asked about that. And, you know, as we are approaching Father's Day and me being a dad as well, like it is one of those things that not only was I able to share with my dad, but now having kids that are 17, 13, and 9, being able to play this game. And literally, I mean, Chris, this is so timely. I just came off of the golf course here not too long ago with my 9-year-old son, who's in the PGA Junior League, and his excitement about, did you see the shot I hit? Did you see my drive on hole number 5 today? And then my 17-year-old son, who played 18 holes today on his summer vacation, come in and we sit there at the dinner table and he's like, I almost made birdie. I almost chipped in. I almost made this putt on number 9, and I made my best score ever on this hole. And like reliving golf shots and connecting as a family through golf is really what it's all about. And I think people ask me all the time, like, you know, I get to play some nice courses from time to time, and people say, oh, what's your favorite thing? Well, my favorite thing isn't the fact that, you know, you name whatever top 100 course. It's that you get to spend time with people who are really special to you, or people that you just met and you become friends with. That can last a long, long time or a lifetime through golf. And so I think those are the moments and the things that part of the reason why I so love this game and this industry is it brings people together. I read a quote from Marcus Allen in the latest Golf Digest, and Marcus was saying, you know, I've met some of my best friends on the golf course, right? In the football field, you're out there for a play or two and people are hitting you, trying to take your head off. You're not having a conversation. On the golf course, you're spending 4 hours with someone. You get to know them pretty well. And so that's what's so great about our game. And I know you know this as well. But it's awesome that that we can share that with our customers and really everybody in the golf industry, our vendor partners and all of our partners, including you.
I appreciate that very much. And Randy, you and the family, you guys have done quite a bit of traveling together. And along your journeys, you've actually stumbled over some nice munis for a quick 9 that you didn't expect to go see. Talk about that.
Yeah. I see you've been on my Instagram. We had a chance to kind of go out to the great Pacific Northwest last year and spend some time in Northern Idaho and Montana. And, one of the days that we didn't play golf, and what I love about it is we do play golf a couple of days on every vacation now because the boys want to do it. We happened to just be exploring and going to lunch, and we literally got lost, took a wrong turn, went down a dirt road. We were looking for a restroom in the middle of nowhere, and literally we stumbled across a municipal golf course, 9 holes. When I saw the sign, Chris, I thought there is no way we're going to find a golf course where we are in the middle of the mountains of Northern Idaho. And sure enough, one of the most beautiful scenic courses with very, very few people on it. And we're in t-shirts and running shorts. And we happen to have our clubs in the trunk, and we pull up and they said, sure, come on out. No dress code. Do what you want. Have fun. Here's a cart. And it was literally one of the best, most fun rounds of golf I've ever had. Our boys loved it and said, hey, this was the best day of our whole vacation. Wow. So those are the experiences and the things that families can do. And it was nothing to do with ability. It was nothing to do with being on the very best golf course money can buy. It was literally about the chance of sharing some fresh air and a few nice good and bad shots with the people that you really love and care about. And that's, to me, when I think of Father's Day, those are the memories that really come back to me as spending time with my kids on the golf course and formerly my dad on the golf course.
That's fantastic. Randy, we focus on teaching life lessons to our kids while we're playing, but have they taught you any lessons about fatherhood while you've been out there together?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for that for me is really teaching me two things, really, two big things. One is patience, and just to the patience to say, hey, when someone first starts the game, there are just going to be those little things that bring them back. And I think a second thing is that everybody has a unique approach to life and the things that they do. And I've heard people say all the time, you can have 3, 4, 5, 6 kids and they're all going to be super different. And it's very evident to me that they turn out differently, but it brings personalities out on the golf course. It brings people who are very meticulous out that do things a certain way on the golf course. And then people who are super casual that don't really treat, you know, every line or have to mark every ball or do that. So my kids all have kind of a different, unique approach to playing golf. And it's fun watching them improve on their own journey. Our littlest guy could not be more particular, and he wants to hit the ball exactly in the same spot and mark it in a certain way every time. And his game's really developing. And our middle son, he just is happy to get out there and swing away, and where it goes, and then hit the next one. And then our oldest one's kind of a little bit in between and more about, as a 16 and soon to be 17 year old now, more about the power game and can I outdrive people and how far can I hit it? So it's fun to watch all those different approaches to golf. And it kind of translates into how people approach life. And I think it's, someone has said, I don't know who the quote is attributed to, you can learn a lot about a person on a golf course. And I think that's very, very true. Right. That you learn about people's personalities, their honesty, their just the way that they approach things, how angry they get, how what they appreciate about golf and don't appreciate. It's really fun to watch them develop and grow as men. And those are the lessons that I take from it is, you know, you can learn a lot from it. And golf can be very frustrating, but in a lot of ways, it's just like life. You're going to have really good days, really bad days, really good swings, really bad swings. You're going to have circumstances that you didn't expect to be in. Hey, I never hit it in this bunker or in this water or in these trees. And now I'm sitting here. Now what do I do? Right. So you're going to find yourself in places that you've never been before. And I think that's really so, so beautiful about our game is that it's a microcosm of life. Because in 18 holes, you're going to see highs and lows, good and bad. And there are going to be better 18s and not so good 18s and good nines and not good nines. And, you know, the time that I made a hole in one, I started out, it was on the third hole and I made a double and a triple the holes before that. So that's how I started out. It's actually a triple bogey, double bogey, hole in one. So kind of indicative of life, and you just yep. You never know what's around the corner, do you?
That's right. So let's take that a half step further, though, Randy. How do you keep the game fun for the boys when you guys are out there playing? I'm sure they want to beat dad, a couple of them, as you've mentioned, a little yeah. Too young to make a run at dad just yet. But how do you keep it fun and keep them together and wanting to come back and continue to play even more golf?
Yeah, I think someone gave me advice a long time ago that it's always when kids are smaller and they like you said, they don't hit the ball all that far, continuing to make it fun and recognizing when they're getting frustrated, but also pick something outside of golf that they can associate with golf. Like our kids at certain ages were the most excited when a drink cart would pull around and they could get a special drink for them, you know, or there was ice cream at the end of it. So if the drink cart never came around, I would always be careful to say, hey, let's go out for a special treat, some ice cream, a lemonade, something to make that special. And then that associates like, hey, not only am I going to get to spend a couple hours with dad, but we're going to have a special treat at the end of this. And I think that at certain ages that progresses. And then as you get further along in their golf game, you know, I think they just, for me, exposing kids to this game, at some point in their life, there's going to be either a true fever for golf, which a lot of us have, or just really, hey, I like being out there because it's fun to be around people. And now I'm decent enough to where I can, you know, make it around there. And even when you're not, and there are those times where your kids can't hit it more than 50, 60 yards, even with their best swing, hey, let's take you out to the middle of the fairway and start the hole from there. Or if you have a couple of bad shots, let's pull you up by the green and just chip one on and putt, and we'll go on to the next hole. And I think that makes it A, fun for them, but B, it's much, much better experience for everyone around it. Because I think some people have a really negative approach to when you take children out to the golf course that, I'm in for the slowest round of my life with these kids in front of me. And I think if you just recognize, hey, when they pull up on the tee behind you and you're still there in the fairway with your kid, that's time to pick it up and just move it along so they can hit, and then you keep pace. And I think that's fun for everybody then. And it's just, it's good practical advice to be able to say, hey, our game's hard enough as it is. And at times it can be, you know, slow play is a tough thing to deal with, but we certainly don't want kids to experience that. And as you know, every one of us started out as a beginner.
That's right.
Yeah, getting them just exposed to those kind of things it's a passion of mine. And, you know, I love sharing with other dads and moms how to do that. And I love seeing girls and boys out on the golf course. Like I've never had a negative thought seeing kids out there to play because they're the next generation. I mean, let's face it. If we don't expose kids to golf and they don't want to play golf anymore, then where's our industry going to be? And I think there are a lot of negative people talking about simulator golf, or even Top Golf when it first came out. Oh, that's not real golf. Well, now we have more rounds being played in simulation than we do out on golf courses. And to me, I think that's really an okay thing. I think it helps everybody. And if your first exposure was at Top Golf, and you hit a few shots because you had friends invite you out for drinks or in a social way, and now you kind of said, hey, this is a pretty fun game. Let me go try it in another way. That is what it's all about, making it fun and enjoying it, right? Because not any one of us can hit the ball like Scottie Scheffler, or most people can't, right?
Right.
But we can still enjoy the game just as much.
Speaking of Top Golf and simulator golf, how do the boys, are the boys looking forward to the TGL League in the Atlanta Drive?
Oh, very much. We couldn't be more excited about it. Just as an organization, obviously, and with our owner Arthur Blank owning the Atlanta Drive team, we're super excited about the team and the players that are on it, but our kids as well. And I think this is going to be something that I think the organizers of the league have maybe underestimated what it's going to be like for kids and younger people, because they are used to it. They're used to seeing games in simulation, video simulation, golf simulation, and on all other sports, whether it's Madden or anything else. Just about every kid can relate to that now. And I also think it'll be more personable with the players. I think they're, you know, not just the trash talk that you see at some of these sort of made for TV match play events, but I think there's going to be some real rivalries and some insight about what the players are playing possibly their equipment, what they use, how they look at shots. And we're fortunate enough to be a sponsor of all the teams, even though our owner is just one. And it's been really fun connecting with some of the other teams and seeing how they're approaching it and how they're going to bring their teams to market and, you know, what they're going to do. And I'm really glad that we've had this year to prepare for it. I think that it will show people that, hey, you know what? Even if I can't play outdoors, if I'm in Minnesota and it's January, I can get together with a few of my friends and go out there and socially play in a simulator. And we can actually play holes. And the graphics and the ability for the ball to do what you expected it to do off of the club face has gotten so much better over the last few years. The technology is just leaps and bounds of what it was even 8-10 years ago. So I think people are really going to be impressed and excited and be able to see these guys in a light in a way that they never have when they're mic'd up and talking about, hey, I need to hit a draw around this tree, or it could hit a tree limb, and here's how I set up to hit a draw, and now I'm going to go execute the shot.
Randy, as you know, this show is available in my hometown of Pittsburgh. The show is on the homepage of the sports section of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, and you have a picture of one of your sons at a Penguins Hurricane game at PPG Arena. He's wearing a Sidney Crosby jersey, and the Penguins went out and won it for you. They won in a shutout that night. Talk about going to Pittsburgh and checking out that game.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that. And honestly, these are some of the things that we have really no ties to Pittsburgh like you do. But my middle son has long been a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, and he has always rooted for the Penguins and just cheered for them. And as I talk about different experiences, it was one thing that when we approached the holiday season that instead of giving them just physical gifts, there are times where I feel like an experience is going to be better. So this was a couple of days before Christmas, and we were able to go up there and see the Penguins, as you say, win in a shootout. What a great experience. I had never been to PPG Arena, and great fan base, super passionate, really fun time. Friend of our brand, Haley Hunter, who also works for Pittsburgh, showed us around a little bit, and that made it even more special. And I know she just moved to Pittsburgh, and what a great town. We absolutely need a PGA Tour Superstore in Pittsburgh, and I want to be the first one on your show when we announce that we're opening there at some point. But great town, loved it, great game, and hockey is such an amazing sport as well. It just always fast moving, lots of action, players skate on and off the ice. And as you know, many, many hockey players are also good golfers. It's same sort of move there when you're hitting a slap shot as it is to get on the tee and tee up a driver.
Indeed. And don't succumb to Matt Corey's pressure to go down to Tampa for a Lightning game. Don't let him cloud your son's mind with any of that Lightning stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to get swayed away from his Penguins loyalty. He's definitely very loyal.
You mentioned your father a little bit ago. Talk about playing golf with your dad and some of the favorite rounds that you got to have with him.
Yeah. So this is a great one. And you know, looking back on my childhood, my dad became an avid golfer later in life. And it wasn't really until, I mean, I would play golf with him occasionally, and it was a lot of fun and I liked it, but I didn't really get into it with him until I was almost out of high school. And so I feel like I missed out on a lot of years growing up in Florida where you can play year round. But I certainly made up for it after that and played a lot of really great rounds with him. I've just, the life experiences that we had, I told him that before I proposed to my wife, I told him on the golf course that that I knew she was the one and I was going to propose to her. And his very next shot, this is a true story, literally hit it into a road, almost hit a car. Like he just couldn't even function after I told him that. I said, I probably should have waited till 18 to break this news to you. But a life memory there. And he was sick with dementia and Alzheimer's later in life. And before we really knew what he had, I played around with him at Pebble Beach, which I will forever remember. And, you know, sitting down at dinner, he basically said this was one of the best days of my whole life. And, you know, wow, almost have tears just thinking about it. And that round at Pebble Beach turned out to be the last round we would ever play. And, you know, it's, I tell people all the time, take advantage of the chance to do the things that you want to do with the people that you love. And so I don't take any rounds with my boys for granted for the same reason. You just, you never really know. Nobody's ever guaranteed anything in life. And it's just one of those things that forever I will remember that round. I don't remember even a single shot from it, but I just remember the smile that my dad had from ear to ear, sitting, eating breakfast, watching people tee off on number one all the way through the day, and sitting over dinner and just having him say just what an amazing just day and week that it had been for us there. And it just, you can't even put a price tag on something like that. And it wasn't even the fact that we were at Pebble, but Pebble is spectacular, as you know. It was really the fact that we were together and it was a dad and a son, not hitting the greatest of shots, but doing the things that they loved and doing it together on the golf course and really just enjoying a day together. And it's why, it's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about what I do and promoting the game, even more so than selling product. I tell people all the time, we are not in a transaction business. We are in a relationship business. And it warms my heart when I go out into stores and I see customers come in and call our sales associates by name and tell them about great shots they hit on the golf course because of the help they had gotten in the store. And so I think, you know, I think all of that is like, whether it's a relationship with family or friends or customers or dads and kids, those are all intertwined with why the game is so great. And I truly appreciate my dad for bringing me into the game. And I hope someday when my kids are older, they'll appreciate in the same way that I had a small part in bringing them out onto the golf course and allowed them to have a lifetime worth of enjoyment, because they're not always going to be playing basketball and soccer.
That's awesome. What a great story. Mm. Randy, as we look ahead, just a little over a week, Father's Day is right around the corner. What are some of the hot gift ideas that we can get for dad or my kids, to hopefully are listening, that they can go out to our favorite PGA Tour Superstore in Kennesaw and get for me for Father's Day?
Well, this is a banner year for really good deals. I will say that there is so much newness out there. We've got some really, really cool things in putters right now. I don't know if you've seen a bunch of the tour guys playing with lab putters, but that's been a big hit. The AI putter from Odyssey, those are great gifts. We've got some awesome wedge deals. You can get a couple of forged wedges from Wilson for $150 for two wedges, which is awesome. We've got buy two, get one free golf balls from Strixon. All Strixon golf balls are buy two, get one free. Amazing deal there. We got golf balls that are two for 35 if you're on a tight budget, from both TaylorMade and Callaway. We've got rangefinders, which is always an awesome gift to show dad the gift of technology. Rangefinders, watches. You can even buy dad an in-home simulator, so you can practice that simulator golf inside your house, which is a really cool gift if you're on a bigger budget. So if your kids are listening, I'm sure that would be a good thing for you.
Indeed.
Yeah. And then we've got some really cool apparel as well. So we've got a lot of brands right now that are 25 off just for Father's Day, including Adidas and Puma. We also have some really fun, just unique t-shirts. If you're on a little bit of a tighter budget that says Saturdays are for the dads, or Emergency 9 hats and those sorts of things. Some really cool novelty gifts. If you're a girl dad, we have girl dad hats from Barstool, and just some really fun items that are in there. And we try to make it easy for the customer when they walk in. We have what we call a front nine and a back nine. So you can say, hey, if you know nothing about golf, pick something from the front nine or the back nine. We're sure dad's going to love it. And if you really don't know, maybe just get him a lesson or a gift card.
There you go. I love it. Randy, before I let you go, remind our listeners, how can they stay up to date with all the great things going on at the PGA Tour Superstore, whether it's on your website or it's on social media?
Yeah, it's, as always, it's PGATourSuperstore.com. You can also find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter, which is a great way to see some fun things that we've done. We've got some really cool collaborations with some celebrities. So I'm not going to tease who those celebrities are, but check out those social media. And we've had some really fun film shoots with some fun people here lately. And excited for our viewers and our customers to see that and really seeing them get a taste of some of the new equipment and how celebrities that aren't professionals get out there and hit that product and see what they're wearing. It seems like those guys and girls always look a lot better than we do on the course, but that's why we have the great apparel selection we have.
There you go. Randy, it's always a treat to get to spend some time with you. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of this show. I hope, A, you do open a tour pretty soon up in Pittsburgh, and B, that we get to have you back on and hear about more of the great things you guys are doing real soon.
Always enjoy the time with you, Chris, and you have a happy Father's Day, and I hope your kids were listening to the gift ideas tonight.
I hope they were, too. Happy Father's Day to you as well. We'll catch up soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
See you, Randy.
All right, bye-bye.
That is the great Randy Peisch, folks. I mean, how great were those stories, right? I mean, for crying out loud, I love the piece of he and his kids going out there and playing, stumbling on a wonderful municipal golf course out in the middle of nowhere. Is that just like heaven sent, right? You're just out driving around and all of a sudden you go, hey, we're looking for a bathroom and boom, here's a wonderful muni and hey, let's go out and play and no dress codes, none of that stuff. Just go out and have fun. That's awesome. And then the things, you know, to be able to spend a round of golf with your father at Pebble Beach, how touching is that? Randy is just one of the great people you get to meet in this life. And I love his enthusiasm, not only for the game, but for what he does for a living. The PGA Tour Superstore, folks, as you guys know, I love that place. My home store is the one in Kennesaw. I walk in there, Randy talks about people knowing you by name and you knowing them. Well, that's how that is. They are in the relationship business. Randy has talked on this show several times about that. Sometimes you go in there and it's not about what you're about to buy. It's the experience you're about to have. Maybe you're going into the simulator and you're hitting a couple of shots. Maybe you're going in there to find something in your swing. Hey, maybe you're trying out a new product just to see what it's like. That's what they want you to do. They want you to come in and try the stuff. And eventually you'll find something that you like and you'll probably buy it. But it's really about making your game better and about the relationship you're going to have with the people inside that store. And look, I've had the opportunity to spend some time with Randy. I mentioned Matt Corey. He was with the PGA Superstore for a while. A few years ago, he's been a part of the show. Dick Sullivan, who is the President CEO, he's been a part of the show. I had Jill Thomas on the show earlier this year and Jill Spiegel as well. It's the relationship you build with those folks and how we're building this game together through a community. And that's the bottom line. It's through the community and they are building the community by building more stores and being out in the communities around the country. Look, there's a reason why 300 people waited outside the store in Richmond, Virginia when it was about to open. And they say, wow, when those doors open up, that's all a part of it. And that's what I love about partnering with these guys. They're just wonderful people. And that's how we build this game. So my thanks to Randy. Hopefully we get the opportunity catching up with him a little bit later on this year. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this edition of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks to Dennis Satisher, Jeff Smith, Dr. Bob Winters, and Randy Peisch for joining me this week. And as I mentioned, next week, I'm going to be up at Macklemore getting a tour of the new course, The Keep, and hopefully getting to play around the golf and spend some time up there with Bill Bergen and Dwayne Horton, two wonderful people that have been a huge part of this show. Bill Bergen is a great guy, as you know, was on the show here recently for the 12th time. So excited to see what The Keep is all about and then get back out on the Highlands golf course. So hopefully we'll have some content for you live from up there, getting to spend some time with those two guys. The following week when I'm back, scheduled to join me are Tom Patrick will be back, of course. Our good friend and 2013 Senior Open champion Mark Wiebe will be here. Fitness expert Courtney Weber will be a part of the show. She'll be making her next On the Tee debut. And then we'll round things out with former San Diego State quarterback Cree Morris. So It's going to be a really fun show, folks. I hope you come back and be a part of it with us. Quick reminder, as always, you can find the show available as a podcast just about anywhere you get your podcast content. But in particular, we are out there on the Pittsburgh Tribune review site. So just go to triblive.com and click on sports. You're going to find the most recent episode right there on the homepage of the sports section. Or you can click on sports and then podcast, and you'll be able to find every episode from the season available for you there. But you can also find us, like I say, just about anywhere you get your content. Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audioboom, Player.fm. We are all over the net. And my sincere thanks to the folks over at Good Pods for making this show one of their recommended podcasts. So please download their free app and stream your favorite podcast right there on your favorite device. But most of all, as always, my sincere thanks go out to all of you for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate you all so very much. Until next time, hit them straight, my friend. Okay, coming up next is going to be one of the top 100 instructors in our game. Golf Magazine has named him so the last 4 years, plus just one of the nicest people that you'll ever meet, and that is Jeff Smith. Before I get to Jeff, let's talk about our friends over at Squares Golf. And folks, do you sway and you're off balance in your golf swing? You know what? It could be your shoes. A golf shoe needs structure to provide stability and reduce sway. How can you tell if your shoes lack structure and are hurting your game? If you can hold your shoes by the toe and heel and twist it, toss it. Squares was designed for the perfect balance of structure and comfort. Isn't it time you tried Squares? Try the new Speedbolt at squares.com. That's squairz.com.
Frustrated with your golf game? Imagine playing with total confidence. Join me, LPGA Pro and golf mindset expert Debbie O'Connell, for my Conquer Your Golf Mind Challenge. Bill cuts 6 strokes and Lori is club champion. What's your goal? Click the link or text NEXT to 727-339-0106. Use code NEXT for $20 off. Your tee time for transformation is now. Will you take the shot?
Okay, now back with me is Jeff Smith. Golf Magazine has named Jeff one of their top 100 instructors in the game each of the last 4 years. Golf Digest has also named him the top instructor in the state of Indiana. He is also a top 100 growth of the game teaching professional. He was named the 2018 Indiana PGA Player Development Award winner and the 2020 Indiana PGA Teacher of the Year. Going back into his career, he earned his degree in psychology and economics at Indiana University. He can be found now during the winter months at Bonita Bay Club down in Bonita Springs, Florida. This summer, you'll be able to find him out in Flagstaff, Arizona at Pine Canyon and their sister course, Talking Rock, in Prescott, Arizona. He is the director of instruction at both of those beautiful golf courses. You probably also know Jeff as the co-host of one of the best golf podcasts out there, Those Weekend Golf Guys, along with Jeff Ashton. Check them out online at thoseweekendgolfguys.com or on your favorite podcast app. And I couldn't be more honored that I get to have Jeff back with me this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Jeff, thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me back. It's good to be having golf conversations with great people. I love it.
I appreciate that very much. So, Jeff, like I mentioned in your intro, you're starting in a new place this summer out in Arizona. Update us about your new summer home.
Well, you know what? I'll back up a couple of years. I spent a couple of beautiful summers, the last 2 summers of my life in Vail, Colorado, and boy, it can't get any nicer than that. Really, it's people say, "Oh, you come for the winter, but you stay for the summer," and they're right. But you know, the same thing applies here in Flagstaff. So I've been in Flagstaff now for a couple of weeks. And it is a mountain community, but yet there's a larger space between the mountains here, where in Vail, they're all compressed, and here they're a little bit more spread out. But 20 minutes away is the Arizona Snow Bowl ski area. And it's one of the first things I did was to see how long they're going to stay open, just for curiosity's sake. So I drove up and they were still open on Memorial Day weekend. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, still had people rolling around, but it's beautiful. Pine Canyon sits within the Coconino National Forest, or nearby it, but in this area is the largest expanse of ponderosa pines in the world, apparently. And it's amazing that it's a big, beautiful, hilly golf course. There's some beautiful homes on it, and the members are just fantastic at Pine Canyon. And then Talking Rock is about an hour and a half away, about an hour south and a half hour west. And it's a high desert where mountains are visible, but it's a high desert hilly golf course. So it's about 5,000 feet where Pine Canyon sits about 7,000 feet. And you know what? I haven't been hot yet. And I know people down in the Phoenix Scottsdale Valley are just burning up right now. Yes. Triple digits down there, and everybody is fleeing up to the mountains. So they're headed to Prescott and they're headed to Flagstaff, and it's getting busy, and I love it.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff, when I think about your career and the overarching umbrella of everything that you have been a part of and touched, I got to believe that there are a lot of things that you look back over the course of your career that have been very fulfilling to you. You've touched a lot of lives. You've improved the play of a lot of players. You've also helped a lot of careers get launched and get going. When you look back and you're in your office or in your quiet time, what do you see? What are some of the favorite things that you really look back on and cherish?
I think, honestly, it's the kids that I've helped from high school to college is the single most fulfilling, because here they are in formative years of their life and they need someone in their life to help steer them and push them and make sure that they understand what hard work really is to achieve something great. And I feel really fortunate to have been that part of somebody else's life. And then there's the times where I'm working with the average recreational player who wants to go out and win his club championship or the flight in his member guest. You know, when you take people who are not doing it for a living and they're not already thoroughbreds, they're the average person with real life jobs and real lives that everyone else can recognize, you know, a job, a spouse and children and work and hobbies and all these things. And you can get them some happiness. You know, they've got these goals, they've got these dreams, and they've got this in this limited time that they're able to get it done. And to help them get a smile on their face is really, truly fulfilling. Not that it isn't with the professional players that I've had a chance to work with. You know, that's not the same. And it's not as emotionally satisfying to me, because they're thoroughbreds and they've trained so hard so long to be fantastic at this game. And now they're doing it for a living. So I feel like I'm just steering someone else to help them with their own profession, which is still exciting, but it's not nearly as fulfilling as that child, or not nearly as fulfilling as that 15 handicapper who all of a sudden has three great rounds and is putting it all together and is lowering his handicap. And those are the things that are really the thrill for me.
So let's take that a little bit further. I've got to believe you've got some great stories where someone has reached back out to you after having achieved one of the things you just talked about, whether they won a local tournament or their club championship, or just their own flight, had reached back out to you, say, "Hey, Jeff, guess what?" What are some of your favorite stories where people have reached out and told you about that specific accomplishment that they were able to achieve thanks to you?
You know, I can tell you right away, there's two of them that just stand out. Amongst all of them, that I do get a lot of things, but I just got one not long ago from one of the kids that I worked with in high school and helped through college. And he's now out of college, and he won four times in college when I was working with him. And then he sent me a message, and this one always gets me. It always chokes me up a little bit when he sends me this note, and I you know, he texted it to me and he said, you know, I had a terrible round of golf in the practice round for the club championship. And I was mad and I was muttering to myself about how lousy my game had gotten. And I went back and I looked at some of the things in the videos that we did. And he said, all I did was remember the things you used to tell me that were so simple. And I went out and had two of my best rounds of golf and I won. And wow. He just said, I just wanted to thank you for the old reminders. And, you know, I like the fact that he kept them. I like the fact that he went back and thought enough about when things weren't going well, of the things that I talked to him about and the things that I showed him. He kept them and went back and reviewed them, and it got him right back on track, and he actually won. And I thought, that is so amazing to me that they keep me in mind, and it's very fulfilling. It's, I'll tell you, I won't ever forget that.
No doubt. That's fantastic. Yeah. And Jeff, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because we're all used to watching the professional players on the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, as they're playing a golf tournament, reaching into their back pocket, you know, for their notebook. And it's usually a yardage book that's telling them, you know, how far to hit it from here or there. But one of the things that I've started considering in my own game, because I find that I forget stuff that I need to do, like, you know, the mental checklist, maybe that we go into a shot with, like, you know, hey, I need to put the club here. I need to do this. I need to do that. But, you know, when you do that, when you're going through all of that, it just sort of clutters your mind with so many swing thoughts that it ends up doing more harm than good. But to your point, to have a notebook that just says in our back pocket, hey, remember to do this. Hey, if things are going south, remember to try to do that. I almost feel like we need a notebook to have in our golf bags or in our back pockets to remind ourselves sometimes if our game is going south and we're not hitting it as crisply or as directionally straight as we want to. Maybe there's a couple of things that we write down in a notebook to remind ourselves, oh, you know what? I haven't been doing that. I think that's a great thing to have.
And so many times, it's like a checklist of things to prepare yourself for the shot. You know, maybe it's a grip check or a posture check or a ball position check or a distance from your club check. You know, I don't know what's going to be right for that player, but sometimes, instead of them being, you know, swing thought related things, that there may be, there are things that keep you in your best performance mode. Maybe it's just take a couple of extra deep breaths and don't try so hard. Maybe it's just remove the grass in front of the golf ball. You know?
Yeah.
There's so many simple things that work for one player or the next, that if you find these little keys that are little things for you, maybe it is a good idea to have a little notebook and be smart enough to actually pull it out.
That's, you know, also a key. Yes.
Yeah. There's things there. You know, there's a lot of stuff that people put in their golf bags, but they never get it out. I know that there's people who practice and they've got their thing that they use when they practice and it's still in the bag.
Yes.
They don't want to be seen with the crutch. You know, maybe it's as simple as an alignment stick.
Right.
I see so many people that have alignment sticks in their bag and it's merely decoration. They don't get them out, put them on the ground or use them to check their body alignment or their ball position or put them in the ground to, you know, set their swing plane in a place that it should go. You know, I see so many people who won't do that and yet they carry them. You know, and I asked them, I said, what are those for? Extra weight? And, you know, they kind of look at me and, you know, they got a little sleeve cover on them now. You get a couple of them stuck together and you go to a nice golf course and they sell these little logoed alignment stick covers, you know, something else to make money on, right? And it's in their bag and it's like a, you know, but if they never get them out and use them, I'm a little surprised.
Yeah, nice little decoration you've got there in your bag. Looks nice.
Yeah, isn't that nice? It's like a new bag tag clanging around. I played here.
That's right.
last September, you were a part of the Top 100 Teachers Retreat, which coincidentally was out there in Scottsdale, Arizona. When you get together with your peers like that, is it the idea of iron sharpening iron? What is it like in those retreats, and what do you guys share with one another?
It is. And honestly, we share, certainly there's some great people, speaking and talking about certain things that they've done or certain things that they've found that are new and or old or successful. And, sometimes it's merely a reminder of things that we have done in our past that have had success that can be shown to us in a slightly different way. But in this iron sharpening iron idea, it is absolutely that. It gives us all a chance to refresh our minds. And as we talk, for example, if I'm talking to, any of the great teachers that are out there, like a James Hong or a John Dunnigan or a Krista Dunton or a Kelly Stenzel or a Mike Malizia, as we're talking about things, I'm listening to how they're going about what they're doing. And it gives me a new outlook on certain things. And I notice how creative all of these other coaches are. And I listen and I think about things, and we talk about some of the technology and that we use in our businesses and in our coaching. And somebody's using it in this way and somebody's using it in that way. And I find it intriguing. Every time that these great coaches get together, I listen so much and get in these conversations, and we talk about, are we using force plates and how are we doing it and what are we getting out of it? Are we using our launch monitors and how are we going about talking to our students in certain ways about these results from these devices that measure what's going on? And it is absolutely my going in dying to find out more and more and more about what Scott Monroe is having success with, about what Mike Adams is doing and how he's presenting his stuff next, or in what way is E.A. Tischler connecting with more students? What is going on? How is this happening? What is David Impostato coming up with next to say, I've got this program and I've shifted from doing these things in my platform to doing those things in my platform. And I've got this new business in this location started over here. And I listen so much and I pay attention to where all these other great minds are going. And it does nothing but make me better. I love it.
Jeff, the game has changed so much during our lifetimes. I mean, technology and the equipment we know has changed a ton, but even the golf swing has changed. I know the way I was taught, you could even see this in some of the tour players back in the 70s. When I finished, I was in a reverse C finish.
Yeah.
Now we finish perpendicular to the ground. The putting stroke, it used to have a lot of wrist action in it, and now it has no wrist action in it. Talk about what you're seeing in the evolution of the actual golf swing itself.
Well, there's a couple of things, right? As you mentioned, the putting, and there's a lot of wrist action, right? They were trying to get the ball on top because the greens were fuzzier. And now they've got these strands of grass that they can cut so low that we're trying to do is just put a pure roll on it as early as possible and not really get it to pop up and get on top. It's interesting. It doesn't set down in some fuzzy grass anymore. But in the golf swing, I see an awful lot of what you just said. We're finishing perpendicular to the ground. Why? Is because we're trying to get it so that not only can we produce accurate ball flight with power, but we're also trying to do it in a way that saves the player from injury. The biomechanics information that we have today versus what we had 20 years ago is immense. I study so much about how bodies work. And what we all can do, this body standing in front of me is different than the one that's over there on the range and somebody else on the range. And what I have to do is figure out what's right for each person to not only hit a great golf shot and not only to hit it with power, but to do it without doing any harm to their bodies. Especially, in the wake of, we see some of these tour players that are still out there that are doing things that are violent. and they're doing things that torque their body and their lower backs, and they do things violently and frequently. And it's sooner or later, you know, body parts are going to wear out. So my goal is always, how do we do this and do no harm at the same time? So we study the nuances of a different kind of movement that the bodies can actually produce. And we do it in a way so that their body doesn't pay a price for their recreation. So what we can't do is do things that harm bodies.
So yeah, when I think of how you're putting that, the image that leaps to mind is Will Zalatoris.
That's the most recent example, isn't it?
Yeah, I think of Willie Z and how thin he is and what he does to his back and in his swing. I see the talent, and I wonder how long can he sustain it. We've obviously seen him go down to injury over the last year or so. I just wonder if he doesn't completely change that swing, is he really ever going to get to the level that he probably could? Because we've seen him finish second in some majors. He's a guy that could win several, but I'm not sure with that swing, he's going to be able to stay healthy long enough to do it.
Well, and we don't know. And I'm certain that the doctors that he's seen and the physical trainers that he's seen and the golf professional coaches that he's with are all trying to make it so that he has a long career without injury, not just a successful career in a short term. And when I work with an awful lot of the high school players and the college players, it's a concern. And I talk to them about that because in the older era of hip thrust and upper body hang back, and that twisting and torquing and the pelvis firing forward, you know, certainly the lower back pays a tremendous price. For example, my wife, who played at Indiana University, was in that era. You know, she's now, you know, in her mid 50s, and she stayed in that head down, fire the hips era. And all of a sudden, here she is in her mid 50s, and she had back fusion surgery, and it was just painful for a long time. And we know that that's some of the origin of it. And so we look at this, and when I'm working with these kids and I'm talking to them and their parents, the kids are only interested in performance. They're interested in distance. They want to just go out there and mash it. And I'm like, well, there's a couple different ways that we can do this, but we have to understand that we have to protect you from yourself in terms of how you're going to go about this. So we break out the force plates and we break out the launch monitor. I prove to them that there are ways that you can do this in terms of how they apply force to speed up the club, because that's their only interest, is to speed up the club. And right. I understand that. And it always will be their interest. So I have to address their interest and their performance in a way that says, hey, guess what? This is fast. Oh, by the way, and you're also not going to be in pain.
Yeah.
And they understand that, because here's, you know, high school kids that want to play in college. But yet some of the high school kids that have worked with other folks, and then I get a hold of them and I ask them things, you know, and one of those things is, you know, are you ever in any kind of pain? You know, either after the round or day after, a couple of days after. And I get a few yeses. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. You know, because here they are at you know, entering, you know, as high school kids, they're entering their physical prime. And if they're getting injured from golf, there's a problem with how their body's moving. And so we've got to be careful about that. We have a responsibility overall for not just performance, but for safety as well, because we're going to be, you know, if we do it in a bad way for those kids, they're going to be sore for an awful long time in their life, because we were either we didn't know enough or we were negligent in how we went about it. There's definitely ways to do this that gets people finishing, like you had mentioned earlier, finishing perpendicular to the ground. Well, you know, you might want to call that the modern swing or anything, but what I'm talking about is individually, what's the right way for this person to do it that produces something that they're after, but does not harm them in the process.
And Jeff, one of the things that we've talked about on this show over the last several weeks is
the idea of well-rounded athletes and athletes that don't specialize in one sport since the time they were, you know, 6 years old. Do you find that the kid that played baseball and basketball or hockey and also played golf, as opposed to the kid that has been playing travel baseball since he was 6 years old or just played golf since he or she was at such a young age, are those kids less prone to get injured, do you think, because they have developed a lot more muscles and a lot more movement and that sort of thing?
I would be in that camp because there's so many benefits, physical and emotional, to playing other sports. Let's start about the emotional ones, where they can handle competition and they can handle losing and they can handle the frustration because there's another play coming up so quickly. Where golf, you know, like for example, tennis is here's a ball coming at you and here's a ball coming at you and here's a ball coming at you in rapid succession. And if you didn't like the last shot, there's no time to dwell on it, right? Because here you go again, let's go get this. Yeah. And it gives people a greater sense of resilience. But golf, there's too much time to ruminate over the last shot and to talk down to yourself. And so from a mental aspect of it, I really love multi-sport athletes. But from the physical side and the injury prevention and all that, because they're not doing just one specific motion from one specific side, like a right-handed golfer swings right-handed 99% of his golf swings, right? Maybe on occasion he'll practice swinging lefty because they're either messing around on the driving range or they got a shot here or there. But, you know, it becomes an imbalance muscularly. But if they also run track or play football or they play basketball or baseball or something where they're using all the muscles in other parts of their body, they're strengthening every part. And I think that is a real physical advantage.
You mentioned the mental aspect a moment ago, and we just saw Lexi Thompson announce her retirement at the end of this season. She's only 29 years old, but she's been playing at a high level since the age of 12. She qualified for an LPGA Tour tournament at that age and then went out and won at 16. By 29, she's had a 17-year career out there. On the PGA Tour side, we've seen a few kids at the age of 15 and 16 playing in PGA Tour events this year. Either they qualified for it or they got a sponsor's exemption. I know, and I'm actually wondering if it is crazy. Are we in danger of, A, you know, kids need to be kids. We need to allow them to be kids. But on top of that, all the pressure and everything that comes with playing in a PGA or LPGA Tour event, it just seems like too much for kids that are 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Is it great to see them qualifying? And is that great for our game to say, hey, look, guys are great. Guys and gals are out there great at 15 now. Or are we in danger of doing more damage than good?
Well, I think, and I love kids being kids, and I love kids developing emotionally. We understand that children don't develop their minds, you know, until their brains aren't even fully formed until they're in their early 20s. And I think that some of these exposures to big time pressure events can have a very negative effect on the kids who make it. And I think that the jury is still out because here we are talking about these young children that are competing at the highest levels. Does it produce anything good? Long-term or even medium-term, we don't know. But we know that their physical capabilities of doing that and their mental capabilities of getting there got them to that, or a sponsor's exemption got them there. But can they emotionally withstand that level of pressure? I don't know. But I'm a fan of kids being kids and developing an awful lot of resiliency before they're put under the scrutiny that is the media world that we have today in sports, because it seems like every time an athlete gets some notoriety and then doesn't perform well, it seems like somebody's out there chirping, whether it be social media going crazy about how lousy they are, or what a fraud they were in terms of their abilities. I just don't know if that is something that a kid is going to be able to handle or not. I don't know that, but I'm afraid for that.
Yeah, as am I.
That could be more damaging than good.
Yeah, and I think that's what Lexi was alluding to and why she wants to get out is, you know, as she said, words hurt. And if we know she's had some struggles in some of the majors, but right. People are out there, as you say, chirping at her, and that's hard. When these kids were out there competing, I marveled for a minute, and we wonder, like, boy, could a 15 or 16 year old, you know, really compete and really play well? And we saw that, you know, they had a couple of top 20s in there. But to your point, if they got around the top of the leaderboard by some miracle, and then, you know, played poorly the last couple of holes to not win, and then had to hear on social media about choking or they shouldn't have been there and this, that, and the other thing. I just don't know in today's world that's good for a kid of 15 or 16 years old to hear and to be around. I'm not sure that's good for their long-term mental health.
Yeah, I would agree, because I see this and they're unable to stay off social media. It is their world. And everybody is a keyboard warrior, and they're always about attacking someone else. And I see so much of it everywhere. And it's not just on Facebook. It's on Instagram. It's on, I suppose it's on TikTok. I don't have an account for that. But they're out there every place. They're on Twitter. And it's a world of let's go attack someone else in their performance or even their character or whatever it is. It's as if the athlete themselves cannot get away from the criticism of others that they don't even know, that aren't even in their life, that aren't their coach, that aren't their family members. And yet it has a dramatic effect on them. And I wonder how that's going to affect the kids when they are out there, because people put out there on social media that their world is perfect and everyone attacks them when it isn't. And yeah. It's terrible. And I wish that wouldn't go on, but it is the kids' world. And I'm always afraid for them, in this realm. The college kids get it. The high school kids get it. They understand that it happens, but it affects them. And I see that even with the kids that I get to work with, they're on their phones and they put it down and you can see a sour look on their face right after they put their phone down. And I'm wondering what was on the other end of that.
Yeah, I agree. It bothers me too.
Yeah.
Just a couple more before I let you go, Jeff. And
okay.
A few months ago, you spoke with the professional golf management students at Florida Gulf Coast University. And
I did.
When you're talking to the college kids about life as a teacher and how to be successful as a PGA professional, what message do you want them to walk away with?
You know, it was interesting because there was a bunch of questions and I loved it. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to do it again because Bonita Bay is literally only 20 minutes from Florida Gulf Coast. And I have a nice relationship with those folks. And as a member of the adjunct faculty for the PGA of America, I've been there teaching things, but I thought it was better to go there to talk to them about what life can be and how they can succeed as a professional instructor. And the answer that I gave a lot of them when they'd ask these general broad questions is to learn so much that you don't develop an opinion too soon. Because once you develop an opinion, it's hard to shake that with other really great information because you'll tune it out. And then you'll struggle to help more people because you'll be too stuck in your own opinion about how to swing a club at a ball or how to play a shot or even how to speak to people. And I said, the biggest thing you can learn to do is to learn to be a great communicator of an idea, of a concept for the person in front of you so you can be successful. And then I always mentioned the other half of life. It's not always about standing on the lesson tee for one more hour. It's not always about giving one more clinic. It's if you find a spouse, make sure that you do things. Many of us who have succeeded in our profession have not succeeded enough in our personal lives, and we're out of balance and out of whack because we spent so much time, effort, and energy into our profession that we lacked in the thing that actually matters far more, but we were too blind to see it. And this story's been told over and over again, but there's a time when you must spend time with those you care about instead of saying no to them and just taking one more lesson because, you know, that extra money will help pay for a new pair of shoes for the person that you care about. They're really caring about the time you spend with them as opposed to that. And that story has been told by many career successful people in the world. So I stress that a little bit as well. And I give them my own personal stories about that as well to say, hey, look, you're at a point where you can make these choices, make the good ones. So that's part of what I talk about when I'm there.
That's fantastic advice. I got to be a little selfish, Jeff, because you guys on your podcast just came out with a great episode not long ago titled Lower Your Scores by Tomorrow Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm about to head up to Macklemore in a couple of days to play the course up there and to see Bill Bergen and the guys up there. And I'm sure I'll play the Highlands course. So I need to get better by tomorrow. Help me out.
There you go.
I'm trying to break 80, Jeff, with everything I got. I can get it to somewhere between 81 and 83. I can't get over that mental hurdle.
You know what? A lot of times it is a mental hurdle, right? If you're close and your skill set says that I can get into the 70s, you know, maybe a little bit more relaxation before every shot, maybe a little bit less about a swing thought instead of, hey, I'm just going to hit it over there. And maybe a little less tension. Maybe that can help you keep the ball in play, which keeps your confidence level high. Maybe a little bit more of when you get to the golf course, instead of hitting a lot of golf balls on the driving range, just loosen up, swing a bunch, and then just go get it up and down and chip a bunch. And maybe your touch will be just that much better that day. Because we all know we're going to miss greens. It's a matter of what we do with those. And if we can convert those, and you can sit there and make one more 6-footer as you practice because you got the speed of the greens better and your reads a little bit better, then you could take that 83 and maybe turn that into a 78.
I love it. I tell you, that's one of the things that's interesting. As you know, Tom Patry is a regular guest on this show, and
yeah,
and TP always preaches short game, short game, short game. And I think that, I think that's a place to your point around, especially with the 6-footer, make one or two more 6-footers in the course of a round. That makes all the difference in the world, right? The majority of the strokes that we have on a golf course come with the putter in our hand. If we could make a few more of those knee knockers, it would make a huge difference in what our score ends up being.
It really would. And you know, it really helps your confidence as well. You know, when you can see that ball roll into the hole and you've got it online and your speed's good, and you see that and it gives you confidence in your ability because you're about to have another one on the next few holes.
Yep.
So, you know, I think that you could do some things in the short game when you go to the golf course that get you tuned in to the short game because you're about to use it.
Yep.
So 100%. not only do you practice the skills and build your confidence in practice, but I'm suggesting that when you go to the golf course, that you head there first. Because for the most part, you're not going to radically change your game with your flight of your golf ball that day.
Right.
But people spend an inordinate amount of time prepping for a round of golf by making full swings, and they ignore the things that get the ball in the hole. And then when they don't get the ball in the hole early on in the round, there's a little frustration there. And then they start to put pressure on themselves. And you can alleviate a lot of that by spending a little bit more time getting accustomed to the feel of the chip on that day.
Yeah.
And the distance that they roll out and the feel of the firmness of the greens and how they roll out. And how about the speed control that you have with your putter that day? If you have an 8-footer, does it travel 8 feet? Can you get it on an uphill traveling 8 feet or a downhill traveling 8 feet if that's what you have to do? Can you stop the ball where you want to stop it? And if you do that when you're get to the golf course and practice, I'll bet you you're going to feel pretty good about your game overall.
Solid advice. That's what I needed to hear. Thank you very much.
Go enjoy Macklemore.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Jeff, before I let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're out there doing, whether it's following you or your show?
Certainly, you can listen to the podcast, Those Weekend Golf Guys. That's a fun thing that we do. It's not about the PGA Tour. We don't care. We're not talking about that. We're talking about golf for everybody. So there's that. But they can check me out on my website at jeffsmithgolfinstruction.com. It doesn't say a whole lot because I'm teaching at private facilities, so I don't skew it toward the general public. However, you can get a hold of me and send me an email, at jmspga@pga.com. And, I do work with people over the internet only if I've worked with them in person first, because then I really know what to do. You know, it's hard to work with somebody over the internet and actually get it right for them. But I'll do that too.
Jeff, you're the best, my friend. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show this week. It was a true honor to get to spend a few minutes with you at the PGA Merchandise Show earlier this year. I hope we get that same privilege of having you back on the show again, maybe a little bit later on in the year.
Well, I'd certainly enjoy that. Chris, thank you so much for having me. And I know that you've got one of the greatest golf talk radio shows that are out there. The guests that you have on the show are just amazing. And I just feel privileged to be one of those.
Well, I can't thank you enough for being one of those. You're awesome, my friend. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you so much.
See you, Jeff.
Okay, bye.
That is the great Jeff Smith, folks. Is it any wonder to you now why he is a PGA Teacher of the Year, why he is a PGA Player Development Award winner, why he's one of the 100 Growth of the Game Award winners, and why Golf Magazine has named him one of the top 100 instructors in our game? The one thing that I love most about Jeff, and there's a lot to love about him, is the fact that he is such a great motivator, and he's also curious to learn more all the time. Like we talked about when they get together in that room, iron sharpening iron, those guys learning from one another, but Jeff seeking to learn more about what is making other people successful and other people's players more successful so he can incorporate that into his teaching. I love that about Jeff so very much, and he's a great technician. He knows how to teach the golf swing and how to make you better, me better, all of us better. But those are the things that really stick out to me about Jeff, is his desire to help you and learn how to help you better each and every year, continually learning and continually refining his craft. Jeff is fantastic. Again, he gave out his email address, jmspga@pga.com is how you can send him an email if you're curious about him. And then you can find him on social media. Just look up Jeff Smith. Fantastic guy, fantastic instructor, and I'm very excited to get him back on the show as often as possible.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.